For the rest of November, we're going to be in a series of messages, and I want to spend some time affirming who we are as a church and as a house. Val, if you could put up that first slide. So the series of messages is called We Are, and every week we're going to fill in a blank, all right? And there'll be one word or a couple words or maybe a paragraph, I don't know. But we are, and so this is the first in that series of messages. So some of us in our church and in our community here connected with Queensway use language like this. This is us. We make a statement. This is us. Or we'll say something like, this is who we are. Or we'll say something like, this is how we do it. We'll say something like that or along those lines. The problem with this language and these words is that it's often not in consultation with the leadership of our church. It's just people saying stuff. You know, it's most likely something I've not said. If you've heard someone say something along those lines, I probably never said it. It's most likely something that one of our pastors, past or present, has not said. And it's probably not something that a board member has said in terms of who we are as a church. So we're just going to set a few things straight over the next few weeks in November here. So we believe that God gives the leadership of the house vision that the whole house is able to follow. That's how we're operating. That's how we believe. You know, someone once asked me, did you hear this from God, or a statement similar to that? And my answer was, and will always be, this same answer. Yes. When it comes to vision, when it comes to the direction of our church, I always hear from God. If I didn't hear from God, it's not going to happen. Now, do some leaders and pastors abuse the voice of the Lord to accomplish their own agenda? Sadly, yes, we know that to be true. But don't fear. People always ask me, well, what's going to happen to them? Here's what's going to happen to them. Don't fear, because God has special judgment for those who lead his people. James 3 verse 1 says, not many of you should become teachers. Pastor G, I just want to be a pastor. I don't know. Okay, read the scripture before you decide you want to be a pastor, a teacher. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. I don't know about you, but that is a heavy mantle hanging over your life. You can look at me. Who will be judged with greater strictness? This guy right here. All right? So just put that into perspective, and Pastor Katie as well. We'll drag her into it. Oh, man, she knows this, of course. All right. So over the next few weeks, I'm going to outline what and who we are. Our series will be titled, We Are, and again, we'll fill in that blank. You see, this will help us identify with who we are as a group, who we are as a community. For me, this falls into the vision category of the future of our church. Will the statements I make over the next few weeks stay true forever? Well, most of them will, because they are from Scripture. And of course, Scripture doesn't change. The emphasis may change in what we're doing, but the word of the Lord for a moment in time is specific to that moment. I think this is what God would be saying to us today. But rest assured that God's word does not change. Amen? All right, good, you're with me. Amen. You see, these messages aren't meant to bring us together. I highlighted this and I still messed it up. These messages are meant to bring us together and help us to pull on the same rope at the same time. Could you put up that tug of war slide? Oh, excellent, Val. So this is what I mean by pulling on the same rope at the same time. These gentlemen are serious, and if we zoomed in, it would be even more amazing. But you see, my vision of our church is that we'd all be on the same side of the tug of war rope. I want everyone to be on the same side. When we pull because we pull together, we're pulling with the power of the Holy Spirit and the favor of God. And the truth is, church, if we pull with the Holy Spirit and the favor of God, we won't lose. It's impossible. God always wins. Now show the next slide. This will be our face when we achieve victory in any area. I thought that was awesome. A tug of war, and I should have zoomed in a bit more. But anyways, so good. So take a deep breath. Buckle your seatbelts, and let's get going into this message today. So here's our first fill-in-the-blank. Can you fill-in-the-blank with me? All right? So many of you are obviously writing. I can see it. Okay, here's the first fill-in-the-blank. We are life and light. We are life and light. So let's take a look at this message today. We are life and light and what it means in terms of our mission and vision. So here's our first thought for today. You can go to the next slide, Val. We are reaching and building. Now let me explain this. Reach. We are and must continue to be a reaching people. If we don't reach, it's over. You see, we reach because it's Jesus becoming flesh as we share the gospel with those around us. Did you know that when you share the gospel, that is Jesus becoming flesh to those around you? It's some people think of that in a sick way. It's just reality. Jesus is coming upon us so that we can share his good news to the world. You see, for some, it's a word of encouragement. That would be Jesus becoming flesh around us. For others, it's sharing a blessing upon someone. For others, it's providing a form of provision in a time of need. Frank and I dropped off all of our Givetober food donations to the food bank this week. It was great to see their faces. We came in with one box. They were like, thank you. And we were like, there's a little bit more than that. And so we kept coming. And it was a great time just to see the look on the faces of the staff there. You see, we were hands and feet of Jesus in making those donations. Not just Frank and I, all of us, all right? You see, it's the hands and feet of Jesus coming to someone who's never heard the Lord Jesus. When we talk about people that haven't heard the name of Jesus, I don't know about you, but I often think of people in faraway lands. There's parts of the Amazon rainforest in Brazil where people have never seen other people, so there's crazy people in there where they paint themselves and they'll kill you if you show up and all sorts of crazy stuff, and sometimes the satellites zoom in and you can see them and it's a little strange. But anyways, I heard a story last week from grandparents whose children don't serve the Lord these days. Let me explain this story. Instead of faith being passed down from one generation to another, nothing in terms of faith has been passed down. So this grandparent told their great-grandchild about church and how they go each week to hear about the Lord Jesus. And the great-grandchild responded with this question to their grandparent. I want to share it with you. This grandparent whose faith is important to them, their grandchild said this to them: who is Jesus? That's what they said. This child is in our community. They live here. They don't live in some far off land. We don't have to get on a plane. We don't have to go on a boat. We don't have to traverse through a jungle. No, they live here. They live here. Church, we must continue to always reach those around us. I watched a video this week of a group of church leaders in a foreign country, and they were being rounded up by the local police officers because the government is cracking down on the assembly of God's people. They cannot meet freely like we do. Church, if they can reach, we can reach also. Do you believe that? If a church under persecution can reach others, why can't we? We can do it too. You see, we reach so that people can make a decision for Christ. That's the first objective when we reach people. We want people to make a decision for Christ. We want people to be baptized in water. We want to baptize people in water. And thirdly, we want people to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what our hope is. And it's not just for a couple people in the area. It's for everybody. Everybody in the area to have these opportunities to make decisions for Christ. So our first one is reach. Our second part to this is build. Here's the truth. The local church can at times be a peculiar place. Have you noticed that? The local church at times can be a peculiar place. Sometimes, like, this is where I am. I was going to say a little weird. I am really weird. I'm really strange. I like to go into churches. I was in another church in town this week. And what do I find? All these beautiful treasures in their church basement. It was awesome. They let you take James Bond movies from the church and take them home. I thought that was an interesting dynamic. Anyways, you can do that at that church. Okay, cool. I'm actually a fan, so it's all good. But here's the truth. The local church can be a peculiar place. One of my funniest stories, and this is meant as comedy, not as tragedy, but sometimes I get both reactions. My first ever official paid ministry position. I was going through the youth room of this Lutheran church, and their youth room was in the back corner of the basement where no one would go except for the young people. They didn't go there either, actually. It was a very strange place. There was couches and weird smells and fungus and colors on the wall that I weren't sure what exactly they were. And in the corner, there was a bookshelf full of different materials and some board games. I was going through the board games. And lo and behold, I found a Ouija board in a church. And so some of you that are alive in the 70s, Ouija board is a bit of a swear word. But anyways, here's the deal. I got some chemicals, and I thought, I was born in the 80s, and I was raised with parents that grew up in the 70s. And I was raised that Ouija boards, when you put them on fire, evil spirits came out of them. So I was excited. I was going to be casting out some demons. Watch out, here comes Pastor Jay in Etobicoke. Here we go. And so I took this, I took some... Well, anything kind of blows up that's like a chemical. Anyway, so I just loaded this sucker with chemicals, threw a match on it, kaboom, and nothing happened. It was just a box. I was so disappointed. It was my moment. Anyways, you find the strangest things in churches. They are peculiar places. Just so you know, I've looked in every church I've been in since for Ouija boards, haven't found any, including ours, so we're good. All right. Why are churches peculiar places? Because it's run by broken people who need God. That's why people, even in the most tragic of circumstances, people will say, I'm not going to church because of what that person did. And I think, you know what, in some ways I get it. That's a good thing. But here's the deal. The church was never about one individual. It wasn't. It wasn't about me. It's not about you. It's not about us as a group. It is about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It doesn't matter what kind of denomination or fellowship. It is about Jesus. And the truth is that churches are peculiar because there's people like me running them. And folks, I'm a little weird sometimes. I got to be honest, all right? A little strange. You see, sometimes the local church, one similar to ours, we can get off of the tracks. We can get off the tracks. Has anyone seen a train off its tracks before? Anyone? Okay. When I think of trains going off track, sometimes I think of the third Back to the Future movie. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Marty and Doc had to get that train going so fast that in the end, the train flew off the tracks into a ravine. Sorry if I ruined the movie. Yeah, it's this like old movie now. Okay, so if you haven't seen it, my apologies. Anyways, in a similar fashion, we can take the church off its tracks. Let me explain why. When we measure success in our church as three B's, do you know what the three B's are? I kind of made them up, but I've heard them before, so I think there's some truth in them. All right, here's the three B's. Buildings, bucks, and bottoms. I like to say butts, but I thought that wasn't too nice to say in church. Buildings, bucks, and bottoms. You see, we've taken the church off the tracks, in my opinion, when we focus on buildings, bucks, and bottoms. That church is successful. Why? It's huge. Look at the size of that thing. That is a big church. Look at all the bricks they got. There must be 1 million bricks in that building. Okay? So that means it's a successful church. All right. You know what? That church, they are awesome. You want to know why? They have the most money in the whole city. Did you know that? That church has tons and tons of money. Really? That's what equals a great church? Oh, you know, Pastor Dave, you know how that we know that church is doing good? Because they have tons of bottoms in their church. Lots of people come and sit in their church. Well, let me explain something to you. Have you ever heard of a cult? They have lots of bottoms. Some of them have lots of bucks. And some of them have lots of buildings. So if you compare and say we are successful based on those numbers, then in my opinion, this is my opinion, there's people that would disagree with me, but in my opinion, you're wrong. You see, I'll be honest, when I think of God's kingdom, I can get sidetracked with a building. I was reading a post from one of my old pastors. Actually, I was listening to one of his sermons the other day, and he referenced being in Texas. The last time I was in Texas, we were driving, I was with a bunch of the pastors I worked with, and we were driving to a conference. And we were driving to a conference at this big church in Texas. There's lots of big churches. While we were driving there, I noticed from a great distance a huge building. I thought, maybe that's a football stadium. This is Texas. Of course they have football. Maybe that's a football stadium. Maybe that's a baseball stadium. As we drew closer, it started to not look the shape of a football or baseball stadium. As we drew even closer, I noticed that there looked like there was a cross positioned on part of the property. As we drew closer, I realized that it was a church that sat 30,000 people. All right? So here's the deal. We can get sidetracked. I drove past that church in their parking lot. They have shuttles to get you from your parking spot into the church building. That's kind of cool. Let's be honest. Maybe we could do that with golf carts or something like that. I don't know. That's kind of cool. I don't know if you'd want to ride in the middle of winter rolling off the parking lot. You know, I'm not sure. But anyways, the truth is that even this gentleman right here, your pastor, I can get sidetracked with buildings. I can look at them and think, wow, that is something. A few years back, I had the privilege of picking up a seasoned pastor from the airport in Toronto. He was speaking at our church in Brampton that upcoming weekend, and he had been a pastor for most likely around 60 years at that point, and has pastored one of the largest churches in America over his life. That's what his accomplishments are. So his earthly resume was real good. And to be honest, this guy, I was a little intimidated, all right? Because I was not like him. Anyways, I remember him, we sat down for Starbucks together. It was my claim to fame. I remember him sharing a bit about different things that he learned over the years as we had a few minutes to sit down together. I remember thinking, wow, he had the three B's for sure. He had buildings, he had bucks, and he had bottoms at his church. I was impressed. But what I heard as he shared is that the building that was done really had nothing to do with bricks and mortar. That had nothing to do with that. It was all about building people. That's what it was about. One of my favorite places and organizations is Watoto. We know it as the Watoto Children's Choir in these parts mostly. I was able to visit there in Kampala, Uganda about 6 years ago. I spent over a week there with some people from Toronto. What I learned many things while I was there, but what I learned was that much of what they do is raising people out of their circumstance through the power of the Holy Spirit to live a different life than they may have been destined to as they were born without God in their lives. They were raised into this new life with God in their lives compared to their life without God in their lives. What I think of how God wants to build his church in this Espanola region, I immediately think of the Lord raising new people, new leaders, and new disciples. I'll borrow a phrase from another church just like ours. It's apparently named Queensway. It says this: we need to be disciples developing more disciples. That's what we want to be. You see, Jesus discipled, so we can too. You see, discipleship is one of the greatest footprints we can leave behind. Let me ask you this question. What footprints have you left behind? What footprints do you want to leave behind? You see, when we walk, I want us to leave a wake in our path. One of my favorite things this summer as I was cruising in my boat was to pull it back and let the water wake just come up into Kevin and Jules' property and just really soak it. But I never did that, actually. I got close, though. But here's the deal. I want us to leave awake when it comes to our faith and discipleship. Hebrews 10:24 says this: and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Church, I have no problem saying today that the day of the Lord, in which the clouds open up and the Lord Jesus comes down, is drawing near. So let's stir up one another in love and good works. Now is the time. Our final thought for today is this: raise. Ephesians 12, verse 16. I really only need to read verse 12, so that's all I'll do. But the whole section applies. Ephesians 4:12 says this: to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. That is our job. That is our responsibility. That is my job, my responsibility when it comes to all of us. Church, I must admit that when I left Bible school many, many years ago, one of my greatest strengths at that time, at least I felt like it was one of my greatest strengths, was this. It's one word: mentoring and discipleship. I'm committing to the church that moving forward, mentoring and discipleship will be a more significant part of what we do. Even this past week, as Pastor Katie was meeting with youth leaders that have committed to go deeper with the Lord, I could see the work of these young people as they've been journaling through the New Testament. I thought to myself, this would put many adults and leaders I've come across to shame. They work so hard. Church, we have a responsibility. You see, this is the end almost of 2019, and we're on the verge of a new calendar year, 2020. You see, these days are different and unique. Our gospel sharing methods must change with it. You have a responsibility to disciple. I have a responsibility to disciple. Well, Pastor Jay, you're so talented and amazing. Oh, my goodness. I can't do this like you can. Let me give you the secret. Are you ready? Here's a secret. If you don't know where to start when it comes to discipleship, here's what I want you to do. Invite 2 to 4 people over for coffee on Monday evening. Take out every point I gave to you on that Sunday before in the sermon and discuss it. You talk with each other. You share about it for 1 hour. Then you pray, and then you go home. Then, the next week, you do the same thing again. That is discipleship. That's a discipleship journey. It doesn't have to look like that. It can look like anything. But that's what it is. You'd be surprised at what the Lord can do just as we get together over coffee and open God's word together. You'd be amazed. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20 says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Does it say, go tell the pastor to make disciples? Does it say, wait for the board to get in shape and make disciples? Does it say only the youth pastor or the children's pastor should make disciples, and then when everyone turns 18, we stop deepening our Christian faith? No, it doesn't say any of those things. It doesn't. We know that. The scriptures are called for all of us, every single one of us. I was in a meeting this week and heard someone say that sometimes the church's scriptures or readings that are shared in their church are so complicated that it's mainly for the professionals. That is bogus. That is bogus. I felt like slapping them across the table. Oh, but then I wouldn't be able to meet with them anymore. Okay, I found out recently that some people, maybe not all, think that some of my sermons or lessons are somewhat slick. I'm not sure. Thank you for the compliment that you think my sermons are nice and slick and whatever. But I may have tricked you, because I'm really not that slick, in my opinion. If my words make sense and you like my presentation, someone in our family says, "I like your presentation." Anyways, that's just the Lord using me. Some Sundays I stand at the front here in worship and I think, "Lord, you really got to help me today, because I really don't know what to think about what I'm going to say. Is anyone going to find it interesting?" The Lord usually reminds me that I found it interesting earlier in the week when I wrote it. And then at the end of the day, it's about the Lord Jesus. So I need to relax anyways. I did win a few speaking awards as a kid. I did. Maybe that's why I'm so awesome. Thank you for laughing. I appreciate that. I've been blessed to serve. Here's a good one. I've been blessed to serve under some great teachers and preachers, so I hope that I picked up a thing or two from them over the years. But here's the truth, church. None of what I said really matters, because Jesus is the God of using the unqualified to do amazing things in his name. Well, Pastor Jay, I'm not like the people in the Bible. They're so awesome. Let me refute that in Jesus' name. Let me give you a few examples. Moses was not a great speaker. Jonah ran from God. Jacob lied. Noah was drunk. Rahab was a prostitute. David had an affair. Jeremiah was depressed. Solomon was rich in wisdom but poor in lifestyle. John the Baptist was poor and stinking crazy. Timothy was too young. Abraham was too old. Lazarus was dead. Sarah was barren. Naomi was a widow. Gideon, Sarah, Thomas, they all doubted. Peter lacked self-control. He would have slapped that person this week. James and John were self-righteous. Paul, Peter, and Moses had a short fuse, and maybe Pastor Jay does as well. You see, our God in heaven uses the unqualified, the underqualified, the why is God using that person type of person. He uses them. You see, Pastor, what is it that you're getting at? What are you saying? Well, here's the truth, church. We believe in equipping the saints for the work of ministry. We believe that all of us together can reach and build and raise a new generation, a new church in Espanola. It's not just about what Pastor Jason is doing. It's not what Pastor Katie is doing. It's not what was done in the past. It's not, I hope we get a better pastor in the future. It's what are we doing today? That's what the answer is. So what's the takeaway for today? Well, let's spur one another on to use our gifts. That's what we're here for. To encourage one another, to urge one another on to use our gifts as we reach, build, and raise those around us. I know that you can make a difference. I know you can do something significant in this place. You see, now is the time for us to pick ourselves up off of the sidelines and take a step of faith. That's what it is. Let's pray, church. We're going to reach, build, and raise.